As Pastor pointed out in the morning service in the Sunday school hour, grew up in this church, been here since 1981. So we go back a long, long way. Just thinking about the years, by God's grace, in the month of June of this year, it'd be 30 years with BIMI as a missionary. So pray for your continued prayer for the work there in the ministry. My wife and I, in the month of February, been married 25 years. So doing good. And my daughter turned 21. I was talking to Jimmy, and he said, wow, I remember your daughter was little, taught my Sunday school class, my wife's Sunday school class. Now she's 21. So the years come as things progress. Well, this trip, before I get into the message, was basically for the purpose of seeing our daughter and helping her do this internship. That's all done, taken care of. She did it in Trenton, Georgia, for those of you who are not aware of that. And she's done. She's back. We took her back. As a matter of fact, we got back in town yesterday from Pensacola, Florida, leaving her back there. She's back in school now. Made a full week of it and taking care of some things we had to take care of while in Pensacola. And now we're back here in Charleston to make the final days organization before we head out on the day of Thursday. We fly out from the Charleston airport and then to Atlanta, back down to Peru. So pray for us as that. If we do that, we'll be up again in the month, by God's grace, in the month of May, because our daughter graduates from Pensacola Christian College. So she had the first, people said, Brother Johnson, that quick? Yeah, it has been that quick. But 4 years quick, I guess, if you want to look at that that way. So please pray for our daughter. She's in the last semester, and she has a lot to go to do in her mind, get things organized for this last semester. And then, of course, there's some ideas coming to mind what we'll do thereafter. She wants to continue and doing her master's, but we're going to talk some things over as far as the time frame and everything. So please pray for us as we return in the month of May. I think we fly back on the May 5th. I don't remember, May 5th or 6th. I don't remember after that, but please be in prayer. Yes, Brother Lacey. Okay, good. So, all right. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Brother Lacey. I appreciate that. So, and this time we come back, we're going to stay a little longer, at least 3 or 4 months or so, so we could do our deputation furlough in the form of our churches. So please be in prayer for that. Of course, I will form pastor, and the pastor will be able to form you as well. Okay. Well, it's good to be here. It's always good to be here and preaching church. My sending church is always a joy to preach God's word. So as we continue with the service, let's have a word of prayer. Jesus, thank you for this time. Spirit of God, you receive the honor and glory, Father, and I pray that you will help me this morning. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the opportunity once again to come back to our sending church here in Coastal Shores Baptist Church right here in Charleston, South Carolina, Lord, and it's a joy to be here again. I pray, Father, your will be done this morning. Thank you for seeing familiar faces. Thank you for seeing faces, new faces as well, in the congregation of Coastal Shores Baptist Church. I pray, Spirit of God, that you will use this time. Your name will be uplifted and glorified. And Father, only you receive the honor and glory, Father. It's not about Lee. It's not about what we do in Peru. It's all about your honor and glory. And that's what it's about, Father. I pray your name will be glorified and the message will come across to the hearts that needs this message this morning. In your name I pray. Amen. I have to remember when I back home, AV always says, now, Lee, slow down. So I got to remember, slow down. Because I talk fast in English, I talk fast in Spanish, I talk fast in sign language. So it's my makeup, I guess. So I try to remember where I'm at. And if I go fast, just buy the tape, whatever, and just play it back. I guess you catch. That'd be easy for you. All right. It's important for us to always be willing to learn and understand what God has for us to say. There's different things that God wants us to remember. And I want to start off by looking in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 17. James, chapter 4, verse 17. And while we go there, I guess if I will have a title for this message, it would be Not Trying to Make a Good Note, if you would put it that way. And I will explain as the message progresses, Not Trying to Make a Good Note. God's not looking exactly necessary for us to make a good note just so we could say, hey, I got a good note. But what God wants is obedience. God wants us to be obedient. Now explain for that. As James chapter 4, verse 17, I like to use this verse because it's clear cut and to the point. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And I've preached many times to this verse in different messages and titles using this verse. But once again, the Spirit of God helped me to find something in this verse. And what God wants us to do, what God wants us to understand, basically is to be obedient. If we are obedient, then that verse will take care of itself. It makes sense. To him that know do good, do not to him sin. So, in other words, let us be obedient. Obedient. I mentioned in the early part of coming up here that I've been, by God's grace, in June, 30 years in the mission field. Not I have been perfect, and not that I have been the best missionary, and not that I know all. No, the point of that being in the mission field for those years is because I want to be obedient. I wanted to do what God wanted me to do. I wanted to be obedient to his call, which he called me many, many years ago out of this church as a young teenager when God called me to preach. And then when God specified my calling to the area of the deaf, and then I wanted to be obedient. And back in 1986. So many people out there, many Christians want to impress. That's the way I want to go to this message this morning, is they want to try to impress God. God's not interested in you being trying to impress him. God doesn't want that. Look, God, look what I made. You know, for example, I mean, when we try to impress our teachers with a good note, hey, I got a good note, but do you know the material? Did it register? You know, many want to make 100 on the notes, and that's good to make 100, but you have to do the effort to follow through what you learn, what you study on the exam. It's important to understand that, and that's what God wants us to do. God wants us always to be obedient. Underline the word always, because that's what God wants us to do all the time. All the time. God never fails on us. Why do we fail on him? God is always encouraged when we're obedient to him. And that brings me to the message, to the passage of scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And, of course, is the life of King Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22, please. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22, please. We're going to see from scripture about a disobedient king. A disobedient king. Verse 22, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22, and Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Now we see here the story of Saul. We all know the meaning. We all know what happened, took place here. Once again, God commanded Samuel to talk to King Saul about doing something that he should have done correctly. God was very clear on the process that needed to take place for King Saul to do this thing. But as we know from scripture, you see the chapter 15 earlier, we see that he did not obey. He did not complete. He did not listen to the T. You know, God has everything figured out, every jot, every tittle, every point, everything specified in scripture. Right now I'm reading through the book of Exodus, where God specifically told Moses the steps that he wanted to take place for his tabernacle and the clothes and the curtains and the utensils. Everything was specified by God to Moses and exactly to the T. And that's how God works. God doesn't make a mistake. When Saul came back and told Samuel, and Samuel said, you know, God, this is what Saul said. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. I made a mistake. No, God didn't make no mistake. The hard-headed one, the stubborn one, the disobedient one was Saul. You see, because Saul was trying to make a good note. He wanted to impress God. Hey, you know what, Samuel? Look, you hear the bleeping and you hear the sound of the animals. Yes, okay. You know what? I know God needed these animals.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I saved these animals and because God needs them because the sacrifice. Oh, you know you're right, Saul. You know, God made a mistake. God messed up. No, that's not what took place. That's not what took place. We know exactly that King Saul was disobedient. He wanted to impress God with his good note. Is that what many Christians are doing today? Yeah, I think they're trying to impress God by coming to church and reading the Bible and giving their tithes and witnessing. And don't misunderstand me. All that's our obligation. But you're trying to do to impress God is because you really want to be obedient in doing what God says to do. You see, I know missionaries out there that are not trying to be obedient, but trying to impress God. As a missionary, I travel to different churches and see different things. My wife and I experience different things, different locations. We see a lot of things take place in different places and different circles and in Christian schools and in Christian colleges and churches. And there's a lot of people out there just trying to make a good note with God, but God's not impressed with a good note. God wants to be totally obedient all the time. You see? I mean, like when I was young, I mean, I wasn't always the best student, you know. I mean, I was a time when teachers said, we're going to have an exam. And, oh, my soul, I forgot about the exam. And I look over to my left or to my right or right and look over and said, hey, yeah, move your elbow. You know? What was I interested in? Making a good note. I wasn't trying to impress. I mean, know the material. I want to make a good note. Move your elbow. I said, move your elbow. Okay. Move your elbow. Yeah, thank you. You know? I got the good note. Here you go, teacher. There you go. Hey, Lee, you made an 80. Yeah. You know, just that just comes in my bloodline, you know. I made a good note, but was I obedient? No, I wasn't obedient. I played around. I was in the court playing basketball. I was running track and field. I don't know. I was disobedient. You see, and God made it very clear here to King Saul. But we're going to come back to that verse in a little bit. Because I want to explain about, the once again, a point of being obedient. Let's, with that in mind, well, before I go there, see, we see two things here about obedience and sacrifice. Both of those acts are important. But sometimes we have to understand that it could be done in rebellion. As we've seen this, the famous story of Cain and Abel. Let's look in our Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Hope you begin the understanding of what I'm driving at about the point of being obedient and not just trying to make a good note. God's not impressed making good notes. God wants to be always obedient. God wants us always to be obedient. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Verse 6, and the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Verse 9. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Verse 10, and he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother cried, blood, voice of thy brother's blood cried unto me from the ground. Now look some verses here about the standing what would take place. Verse 3. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. Now that sounds pretty good. Okay. Well, Cain was doing the right thing. I mean, offering to the Lord? Hey, that sounds okay. But I'm glad God didn't stop there. Verse 4. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. You see, the Bible says in verse 3 that Cain brought offering, but it stopped there. You notice that? But God, the Bible says, that Abel brought and God had respect to Abel and his offering. You see, the big thing there is the attitude and what he gave. You see, it's all about the heart thing. I mean, what I said, hey, teacher, look, I finished my exam, but was my heart right? No, it wasn't right. I turned it in. It's true. I finished the exam. That's true. But was my heart right? No. And when we come to God with an attitude of a wicked heart that's not right, God sees through that. God's not blind. God knows what's going on. See, the Bible says Cain brought an offering to the Lord. Okay, he did. And Abel did too. But God had respect to Abel and his offering. Let's continue on in verse 5. The Bible says, but unto Cain, to his offering, he had no respect. Not just to Cain, but also his offering. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. You know? What's this, God? I mean, he got mad. No, it doesn't do good to get mad at God. You're always going to lose. You lose. That's it. You lose. He got mad, and his countenance fell. Now God says, Cain, what's wrong with you? Why are you mad? And why did your countenance fail? Hey, he got upset. And who messed up? He did. God was very clear. God always explained. God doesn't leave anything out. He makes everything clear like he did to King Saul. It was clear. It was to the point. And it was clear also to Cain. But he did not want to be obedient. He was rebellious and his heart was wicked before the Lord. Many people out there trying to make good notes for God. Trying to impress God. Look, God, look at my offering. Look, God, look what I'm giving. You know, maybe Cain got an apple and... put it on the offering there. You know, the best is his fruit. What do you think about that, God? God had no respect because his heart was not right. God wants our hearts right. All the time. All the time in obedience. Now, we know we're not perfect. Like I said, in school, I was not perfect. I make a lot of mistakes. I remember one time in Stoll High School, it was ninth grade. And I was a cut-up. I had to make everyone laugh. I was messing up. And teacher said one day, she says, she was a short lady. Her name was Mrs. Lynch. She had a Corvette, a white Corvette. But she was tough as nails. She said, Lee, stay at the class one day. I said, okay, teach. No problem. All the students left. She said, oh, Lee, come here. I said, okay, teacher. I'm here, teacher. She said, now, Lee, you're not a bad kid. You're not a bad kid. You are cut up, but you're not a bad kid. But I want to let you know something very important. I said, yes, teacher. She says, if you don't pass this class, English, grammar, although you're good in math and history and everything, you will fail the year. I said, are you serious? She said, yeah. I'm serious. And I will fail you. Do you want that? No, teacher. That I'll be left behind. I was embarrassed. I cut up and said, Selena, look, you have this one exam coming up. If you don't pass the exam, I will see you again next year. I said, okay. I went home. I cracked the books. I studied. No basketball, no cutting up, no TV. Back, nothing. Back there was the happy days. It was the Bonanza program. Nope. Cut all that out. I was scuttling on the exam. All said and done. She graded the exam. She said, Lee Johnson, come here, come here. I said, what I do, teacher, what I do? She says, come here. You had the best exam in the whole class. You did the best grade. You did good. You passed the course. And she hugged me. I was I said, thank you, teacher. I was so excited. I was so overwhelmed. You know why? Because my heart was in it. I meant it. And God knows when our heart's in it. God knows when we're obedient, our heart's in it. His countenance fell and he was wroth. The Bible goes on to say. And not only that, the Bible said, verse 7, the key is this passage. If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? Now, doesn't it make sense? If we do good, will not God accept us? Yes or no? Of course. I mean, is it that hard to do well? Right is right, wrong is wrong, up is up, down is down, left is left, right is right. It makes sense to do well. Now, we're not perfect. God knew that Cain wasn't perfect, and God knew that Abel was not perfect. But we can do right all the time if we set our minds to it. It's just doing the right thing. Just being obedient. That's what God wants for us. He said, if you do well, I mean, it's going to be all right, Cain. And if thou doest not well, look here, the Bible says, sin lies at the door. It's right there, and sin just waiting right there for you to open the door so it could come right on in. And you just open the door and you're right there. Yeah. God's not right, Cain. Look, that beautiful apple, that nice looking bananas, the oranges, and God just slapped you in the face. Imagine that. And you know what, Cain? You know what? Look what God did with your brother. Look, he accepted him and his offering. Now check that out. What do you feel about that, Cain? Huh? Yeah, look at your brother living it up, sticking his chest out there and just laughing at you, sticking that finger in your face, huh? Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I'm gonna get even with my brother. Yeah. Abel had nothing to do with the situation. Abel was completely innocent. You know why? Abel was obedient. And his brother Cain just couldn't deal with the fact that he was obedient and he was not. And we know the rest of the story. A marked man for the rest of his life. You see, sin lies at the door every time when we disobedient. Just what happened in the case of Saul. He was disobedient. He just said, look, let me save this and let me put this over here. And the king, I'm going to spare his life. You know, but let's do what we get because I want to do some sacrifice unto God. And God says, no. And Samuel said, no, that's not the case. That was the case. You should have been obedient. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22 again. Let's look at that again. 1 Samuel 15, 22. We see what Samuel says to Saul. What Samuel says to Saul here, he says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of ram. To obey and to listen, to hearken, listen, to obey, listen, pay attention. God wants us always to be obedient. God wants us always to pay attention. God wants us always to hearken. And we're not out there trying to make good notes for God or good points or trying to impress God. God's not impressed with us trying to impress him. God wants us to be obedient, even if it hurts, even if it's not the right thing at the moment for our thinking. It's always right with God. It's always wrong with us because God knows best for us. Amen? He knows. Things happen. Some things happen to us in our lifetime. Things happen to me and my wife and our family and in the ministry, like it happens to you and your family as well and in your ministry. But God knows what's best. And many times things happen because we are disobedient. But God, I made a good note. Yeah, but your heart was not in it. Give me that paper. And throw it away. Well, that's the way that happened to Cain's offering. God just didn't care. Did God need bananas and apples and peaches and oranges? And did God even need that sacrifice necessary for Abel, per se? But it was the right thing. And God wanted to see where his heart was at. That's what it is. I read something recently about the things that took place in the children of Israel. They were coming out of Egypt. He said God had patience, lots of patience with the people of Israel. They did some horrible things. They were rebellious. They were hard. They were stubborn. But what was the thing that God closed the door on? It's because they were not obedient. They were not obedient to the point that they didn't believe God, that God will protect them and took care of them. And that's what it is. When we're not obedient, it's because we don't believe God is strong enough or big enough or wise enough or powerful enough to help us. That's what it is. Cain was trying to impress God because, look, God, what you tell me to do, I know better. No, he did not. Where are you at now in your life with obedience? Well, yeah, I'm coming to church, Brother Johnson, and I read my Bible, and I'm giving, and I'm serving. But is your heart into it? It's because maybe you don't want the one to call you. Maybe you don't want the pastor to call you later and say, yeah, where was you at? I didn't see you on Sunday. I didn't see you on Wednesday. Or you don't want somebody to bug you, a husband or wife, say, okay, come with you. Okay, I'll come around. Okay, I'm here, you know. Take a picture. Take a selfie, you know. What's the deal in our hearts? You know, what's the things we're trying to do in our lives? We're trying to be impressive, make good notes, or we really want to be obedient, no matter what the cost, no matter what the cost. Some closing verses here, and then we'll be wrapping things up. Let's look at the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 19. Acts 4, 19. Some serious decisions that these men made about being obedient no matter what the cost. Acts chapter 4, verse 19. Acts 4, verse 19. Acts chapter 4 and verse 19. Acts 4, 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than unto God, judge you. Judge you. We see Peter and John made their mind up to be obedient to God, no matter what the cost was, no matter what they were receiving or feeling or hearing. That didn't matter to them. They were determined to be obedient to God. Verse 20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Acts chapter 5, verse 29, the Bible says, then Peter and the other apostle answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Amen? We ought. You see, that's not something to choose by. It's a command. We ought to. Excuse me. We have to. We are obligated to obey God. Amen? No ifs, and buts about it. We have the command to always obey God. I like what Peter said. We ought to obey God. It's not something to choose. It's not that, well, you know, what I want to. I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. God always wins. God has never been dethroned. And he never will. Amen? I mean, we could look back in history. The first bonehead to do something stupid was Lucifer. Dingbat. nothing was rocking up his head. He was off his rocker. You know, I mean, just think about that. Lucifer and the 30 angels going up against, where in the world, what was he thinking? I just crack up. I hope I'm there in heaven. I mean, the whole thing is, I mean, I'll be in heaven. I'm in there. I'm, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm right there next to God when he's throwing me in hell. I'm going to laugh right in his face. Lucifer, you are a dummy. You know, you are the biggest dummy. Because you, what in the world you was thinking about this? He's God. He's God Almighty. He's all powerful, all knowing. You are not going to dethrone God. And there's human beings in this world that are trying to dethrone God. It's not going to happen. God told, made mention in the book of Daniel very clear, I rule in the kingdom of men. I'm the one that rules. I know what's going on because I made man. I made the earth. I made the stars. I made the land. I'm God. I'm God all powerful. I'm God Almighty. Glory to his wonderful name. Amen. We ought to obey God. This is good stuff. It's wonderful. Peter had it right on the nose. Yeah, exactly what he was talking about. Closing with Joshua chapter 24 and verse 24. And I close with Joshua chapter 24 and verse 24. Maybe you know these verses by heart, this verse by heart. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 24. Now, very interesting here. I'm going to close this because maybe you got to this point too, as some of this, as these people did the same thing too. Now, I mean, I'm going to read this verse and I want to ask a question. Bible says, and the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice will we obey. Now, the closing passages in the book of Joshua. Joshua explained clearly to the people all that had taken place, and they knew about it. The whole process, and they knew about it. The law that God gave to Moses, and when Joshua was repeating again, and they knew about it. They heard everything, and they said to them, they said, Joshua, we heard God's voice, and you could count on it, we will obey. The question is, did they? And the answer is, no. Nope. You know why? You know why? They will say, you know what? That's good, Joshua. Let's make a good note for God. God, we will obey. Trying to impress God. But God knew their hearts. God knew what's on the inside. Now, before you say yes, are you serious about obeying God? Only you can answer that. I'm not here to judge no one. I'm not here to analyze your heart. I'm not in the position. My job as a preacher is preach his word. And I hope you will. I better. If I knew what's good for me, I better. Because it's right. As Bob Jones would say, do right. Even if the star falls, do right. Right. It's always correct to do right. As we started in James chapter 4, verse 17, it's clear, do right. Because if not, it happens right there, what happened in the book of Genesis. Sin's right there at the door, waiting for you to open the door and just come on in. And if we don't be obedient, we're always going to give way to sin. Always. Always. They did not obey God. They had no intentions of obeying God. They were trying to impress God and make a good note. That's what they wanted to do. Impress Joshua making a good note. They wanted to say, okay, in other words, okay, Joshua, we're gonna
obey.
You know, let's kick this guy off my back. Good night, man. Rules and rules and commandments. I mean, Moses did it. Now this guy doing the same thing. Okay, all right. Yes. Okay. We're going to obey. Whew, man, hurry up and die. Man, you're 110 years old as it is, man. You always kick the bucket so we could go and live. And he died. But he was saved. He was honored. He was blessed. And he went to the presence of God because he did right. God wants us to always be obedient. You know, doing right is always correct. And you feel good about it. I know when I do right, I feel good. I feel good about it. I feel, man, thank you, Lord. It's a good feeling. It's a wonderful feeling. It's a joyous feeling. You know, sometimes when I'm stretching my muscles, trying to get the bones and coincide with the tendons and everything, at first, like, oh. Ooh. And you could feel the pain and the stretching. But after it's said and done, the body, okay, yeah. The other day, I did something, I don't know what I was doing. I was putting some luggage out of my car, I don't remember what it was. Then my back, like, oh, I don't want to have my back. I had to drive. That back was killing me. But later on, I put Bengay on it and everything, and the icy hot on it and everything. And then later, I did some movements and the bones and the muscles and everything tried to kind of flexing up. And said, oh yeah, okay, yeah, that felt good. Oh man, but the pain at first, flexing and it hurts. But after a while, it kind of coincides. And the same as with being obedient to God. It always comes. Doing right is always correct. Sometimes the pain is there and it hurts, but we know at the end, it's always correct. Amen? So if you're struggling this morning with that, then do right. And don't make a good note with God, because it's not going to work. If your heart's not in it, You better throw the paper away before God gets it and he throws it away. Just throw it in the trash can and start over again, but with a right heart. When I told that girl, that guy, I don't remember what it was, to move their elbow, I was impressed to make it a good note. But when my teacher said, Lee, come here, this is your note. I know I got that note because my heart was all in it. And she said it was the best note of the exam in that class. And man, how do you think that made me feel? Because I felt good because I was passing the course, and also I felt good because I beat the smartest person in that class that day. I beat her or him, I don't remember what it was, but I beat that person. Yeah, I did good. And my heart was in it, and I felt good. I went to the 10th grade. That's good. I close with this. Years later, I went back to college, excuse me, back to the high school. I ran into Miss Lynch. I said, Miss Lynch, Lee Johnson. I said, yes, Miss Lynch. How are you doing? Doing good, Miss Lynch. How are you doing? Fine. So where you at, Miss Lynch? I'm never going to shock you, but you have to know. Tell me about it, Lee. I'm in Bible college. No. He said, Lee Johnson. I said, yeah, Bible college. What are you doing there? I said, starting to be a preacher. And you know, she's looked back, her eyes full with tears. She said, Lee, you made me very proud of you, son. I told you before, you was not a bad man. You always a good boy. You just had to bring it out. And I cried too. We hugged one another and separated. She died a few years after that. Amen. You see, when your heart's in it, God will take care of it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, as we stand to our feet quietly. Every head bowed, every eye closed, as we stand to our feet quietly. Jesus, thank you, Father, for this time you give me to preach your word. Spirit of God, you receive the honor and glory, Father. Thank you for allowing me to preach this message this morning. I pray, Spirit of God, that you would use this message in accordance to your will. Touch hearts, Father, that needs to be touched this morning. Lord, work in the hearts of the people. Maybe they're here this morning, Father, and we're trying to make a good note try to impress you as your child, as your son, as your daughter. But Father, maybe there's someone here this morning that don't even know you. And they're trying to impress you to get into heaven. Well, God, I'm coming to church. And, well, God, I read your Bible occasionally. Hey, Easter's coming up pretty soon, and Christmas is around the corner, and I come to church on those regular basis. And yeah, God, I may give a few bucks here in the Lord's offer, in the offering. How's that for good? But Lord, you know the heart. You know that they have never trusted you as Savior. If there's someone here this morning in that condition, Father, I pray, Spirit of God, that you will help them to see they need you. They will break before your presence and give themselves over to you. Let them become your Lord. Let them understand they need you so you could become their Lord and Savior. Dear Jesus. And those who are here, who are Christians, who have trusted you as Savior, Father, help them, Lord. If they struggle in this area of trying to impress you, to stop. Saul tried and he failed. Cain tried and he failed. Father, help them to learn from these passages of Scripture to be obedient, Father, to you, and just be, have a heart breaking so they could give their heart right truly over to you, Father. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I ask Pastor McBride to come forward maybe and he continue with this invitation time or how he feels the Spirit lead him in this moment.